Man appearing live.
That's sweet. That's a score.
We'll have the CDs for sale at that event for $10 each.
He was like the serenading traveling guitarist singer from Something About Mary.
Yeah. I don't have much experience with him, but I really look forward to.
I've never seen anyone. The guy's amazing. He's absolutely amazing.
That's what I hear. So it's going to be a really fun event.
And I'm pleased to say that Tara's going to come on for the rest of the month. We're going to put together little programs around, you know, Runaway Homeless Youth Prevention Month. And Aaron, we're working to try to get Aaron and maybe some of the folks that are going to be involved with the presentation out of Blackbird on here. So
absolutely. I'll have to bring Aaron next Wednesday.
So you'll be hearing more from Tara here on People Power Radio. Thank you, Tara Ames, for coming on the Without a Radio program. Can't wait to have you in the studio for the rest of the month around Runaway Homeless Youth Prevention and Awareness Month. The rest of our show is going to be about the Chico City Council meeting that was held yesterday about homelessness in Chico that pretty much predominantly dealt with a plan to consolidate, otherwise known as expand, Jesus Center services to the south side of Chico at the BMX Park near the Torrey Shelter and Cal Water and the fairgrounds. But I do want you to know what wrap-up I did in regards to what had occurred at the meeting that I attended. Chico City Council voted to continue all discussions listed under 4.1 agenda item, plus the addition of discussing Simplicity Village, a plan presented by CHAT, Chico Housing Action Team. Council member Ori volunteered to bring a plan and lead a discussion on affordable housing that was met with stoic silence from the conservatives. In summary, there was a lot of discussing and unanimous approval to keep on talking, just as long as permanent housing for the homeless is off the table. And I say, if kicking the can resulted in an affordable housing, we'd be wading through roofs. One more thing that I posted as an update on this city council meeting was that Chico Mayor Sean Morgan shared the real impetus real late in the meeting for consolidating services by moving the Jesus Center. The city was/is thinking of pulling their use permit. So what I'm left here as far as the editing decisions, I have the entire, no, I shouldn't say entire, about half of Mark Orm's presentation, three quarters of it, and then I did follow-ups. Laura Kutsuna, Charles Witherum for Simplicity Village, and Bob Trausch from CHAT. Stay tuned. Look out on the Without Oof Radio program if you want to see the link to actually view the Chico City Council meeting minutes. It's out there.
Mr. Orm.
Yes. Mayor, members of the council, thank you for this opportunity. One of the things that I've truly found out about Chico is how much I love it. The passion behind every issue that's presented is resoundingly heard, seen, visualized, conceptualized in every facet. Tonight, the council's being asked to consider a concept. It's really intended to positively impact those in need of homeless services and to help mitigate the impact to the community on those services being offered. That's the bottom line. This concept will not solve homelessness, nor is it intended to solve homelessness. It will, however, increase levels of efficiency in the services being delivered and help mitigate the impact of those services on the rest of the city. This is not a government solution to homeless issues, but rather local government looking for ways to help the private sector and the nonprofit sector find more easily collaborate on delivering services to local people in need of such services. On a daily basis, the city of Chico is dealing with the impacts of a service delivery model that is not optimal. Finding a model that allows those truly attempting to positively deal with their homeless situation is necessary. This current state of affairs has resulted in unfortunate consequences, as those who truly are desirous of services are being lumped together with those who are intent on disrespecting and taking advantage of our community's charity, compassion, and desire to help those in need. This consolidated services concept should help delineate those in need from those looking to take advantage of the community and allow for a point of entry, not only for those seeking help, but for those volunteers who are looking to serve those in need of help. That's the goal. Thus, I'm recommending consideration of the following: accepting the concept of utilizing the city-owned parcel, which is located behind the Torres Shelter Valley View apartment area, for the relocation of the Jesus Center, along with other point of entry services for locals suffering from homelessness. Also, seeking to authorize the city manager working with the city attorney to develop a memorandum of understanding or other legal arrangement toward meeting those ends in the meantime. And then eventually developing, should a plan come together that's acceptable, entering into a longer term lease type of agreement if the plan makes sense. Also, looking for authorization for the city manager to give a one-year notice of intent to lease termination to the current lessee of the parcel, that's Silver Dollar BMX. It's a notice of intent for the simple fact that we're not looking to push the BMX group off of there until there's a vital plan in place that we know will work and is bought into by this council. It's also one of those directions that's also in that staff report is seeking council direction to allow me and other members of staff to continue to diligently work to find a more optimal site for the BMX should this plan coalesce and the council allow for this consideration to move forward. Finally, I'm seeking authorization to work with the Jesus Center and the surrounding property owners should this plan come to fruition on an optimal path of entry that accommodates not only the use on that site, but also does not impact those neighbors surrounding it. So how did this all come about? It's been quite a journey over the past number of months. City Council authorized me to consider ways of helping eliminate the development and develop solutions to mitigate and or solve, if possible, the issues surrounding the impacts of homelessness on our city. In my evaluation, actually, there were a number of comments made or given to this issue, and this council directed me to find ways to potentially impact this issue, and therefore it allowed me the authority to proceed on looking for solutions. So what I decided to do is take a step back initially and see how we're currently engaged with this issue. Since it's such a complex issue, I knew that each department was dealing with this issue in some way, shape, or form, and I needed to know, dig down deep, and in attachment A, you'll find a lot of the reactionary responses that we're having to this issue, predominantly reactionary, when in fact, the only proactive items that we are working on are currently under the Community Development Department, primarily under the Community Development Department, which is through our housing, CDBG, and those efforts and those fronts. In addition, the police department has some proactive approaches that they have as well, collaborating with behavioral health and trying to help mitigate the impacts to those that are struggling to help get them to the services that they so vitally need. As I said, the city's primary role has been reactive and response driven, and it's quite ineffective, candidly. And from an operational perspective, as the CEO of the organization, what I have to look at is how is that impacting the employees that I have to ensure are doing their jobs effectively. And I'm seeing the same exhaustion time and time again of dealing with the same issues over and over again. And I'm seeing the wear and tear on our employees. So how can we positively impact that situation to turn it around, to find a solution to help mitigate those impacts? So I stepped back after I found out how we're dealing with those, and I further stepped back to look at what is the current system and how is it set up, and that's when the light bulb went off. When I looked at our current situation as it's currently being delivered, the services, I looked for two essential models that are being employed. One is sheltering. The Torres Shelter is a fabulous community partner. They're doing some amazing work. That was located, obviously, near the location of where we're speaking to tonight. In addition to that, the Jesus Center, another amazing community partner who's doing some amazing work to help people in need, is located from 1 to 2 miles away. That immediately set the light bulb off in my head. We have a fragmented system of basic needs in our community. That fragmented system creates this unfortunate consequence of having to travel between essential services, which then unfortunately creates issues in some of the neighborhoods, and allows for those who may be homeless but aren't necessarily a part of that group that really is desirous of help, that then impacts our neighborhoods, our citizens, our businesses, and a lot of the people that I hear from on a regular basis. I'll tell you, one of the things that really spurred me, besides the direction given by council, was the calls that I constantly receive on the third floor of City Hall. Those calls, time and time again, reiterate the fact that people are sick and tired of dealing with this issue in this community, and their expectation is, what is my city going to do to help me? This is an attempt to help them, and it's an attempt to help those in need.
Without a Roof Radio program made possible by generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Hearing Aid Center, changing lives through better hearing since 1949. Chico Hearing Aid Center is devoted to providing the best hearing possible with a Try Before You Buy program and state-of-the-art hearing aids. Chico Hearing Aid provides hearing evaluations at no cost. 342-8132.
3 hours before the meeting, I was talking to leaders, decision makers, city decision makers, who said we did not have the votes. They're very pessimistic.
This is Charles with the UM talking about Simplicity Village for getting on the list of discussion topics last night.
Housing people in tiny homes moving forward.
I think the real impetus for us is to get past my face read, poker read of Renette Filmer. She was like, oh, we're just voting to continue talking, to talk about it. Okay. You know, it was, to me, that was the most frustrating thing, Charles. It was like they all, some of the people up there felt happy that they didn't have to make a decision, and she seemed to be one of them.
Yeah. Well, now our city manager has direction from the council unanimously to come up with something to house people with tiny homes.
How'd that make you feel, Charles, with you? When you heard, at least you know you're moving forward. That's a big move. That's like a fourth and 30, and you've got 50 yards, and you're down there, right?
Right. Yeah, it was a big night for Chico's homeless. They agreed to move forward with more services through the Jesus Center and to entertain proposals from chat for housing people in tiny homes.
See, my diligence, I'll go through this more with a fine-tooth comb, though, Charles, is they agreed to continue the discussion, to continue you know, the project moving forward. There was no quote-unquote decisions made. I don't think it's semantics. There was no decision made to expand services. None. Zero. Nothing. Matter of fact, Orm and the Sorensen were real adept at kind of saying, look, this isn't an agreement to do anything, folks. We're not moving too fast. All we're agreeing to do is talk. And I think that's really important, because I've already gotten a message from someone that felt that one of the Action News teams was misleading, and that they were saying, hey, we've agreed to move forward with additional services. All we've agreed to do is continue talking, which is good. And don't get me wrong. But there's going to be a lot of people that are going to walk away from way people have been reporting, going, oh, great, they're expanding the Jesus Center. That's not what they agreed to do. So anyway, I ramble.
True. But yesterday, I couldn't get city leaders to return phone calls up to talk about housing homeless people in tiny homes.
Mm-hmm. Now you are.
And now, after that meeting last night, I walked up to our city manager and I said, okay, Mark, it looks like you and I are going to have some meetings together. And he goes, you bet. Right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, Charles.
We'll get together.
I really love some of the people. I shouldn't say some. I loved all of the people that got up there. But that wonderful lady, I think it was from Megalia, that was talking about NIMBY. She was precious, man.
Yeah,
I'm going to put her on right after you. Because she was a wonderful human being. Works with chat and safe space.
Yeah.
Any closing comments, Charles, on how happy you are and for the process?
I'm elated. I really think this means that now we have access to some city resources that will be an aid in planning the tiny home village.
Yeah, now you have legitimacy. You've had a city council vote, and they said start working with Mark Orman.
To me that we're going to get Mark Orm's help in looking at property, you know?
Yeah, Charles, man.
And there's a lot of different ways it can go down from here. It could be a city-county partnership. It could be a city-county nonprofit, a chat partner, three-way partnership. The city might be able to eminent domain property.
Mm-hmm.
There's that property at the end of Pavis Court that's been fenced off. It's owned by some corporation in Connecticut. There's nothing to stop the city from just saying eminent domain. We have a crisis. We need that property. Here's market value. Write them a check and let chat move in on a lease.
One good way to end, I think, just with some pointed reality and humor, but they could do the same thing at the current location of the JC. They could say, hey, this is an emergency, and we really appreciate their facility here. We want them to expand, and we'd like them to have some of these buildings around the JC, eminent domain. The city can do a lot more than they're doing.
Right.
Charles,
here's another interesting way it might go down is that now that CHAP has a place at the table, we can offer to take over the lease for the old JC building.
Yeah.
Let the chat run that building as a refuge for women and children.
Yeah, housing. That's what I talked with Siana Soniki about the building. I said, everyone's talking about, we expect it's going to go to low-income housing or affordable housing. This should be a definitive. Right. If we're going to move out of there, right. Let's put some housing in there. It's in a residential neighborhood. Right. So I'm really happy to hear that, Charles.
Right. Yeah, Jack could run that as a housing unit for women and children. The neighbors would be happy because their problem is the 150 people that come in and go out for breakfast every day.
Yeah,
that's
their
problem.
Yeah, it's the movement,
and
people coming and going.
They're not serving breakfast. If the people are living there, they're not coming and going.
No, yeah.
No problem.
Charles, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You know, if I had an hour show, man, I'd slip in 10 minutes, but I'm going to have to cut this short. But
sure.
Thanks for all you do, man. Sure. You're a positive force here in Chico and beyond.
Tonight, last night, we made progress. We're at the table. Now we've got a voice. We're going to make something happen.
My pleasure here. I'm actually at the Interfaith Council, and Laura Kutsuna, the executive director at the Jesus Center, just did a wonderful presentation around the, I guess I can call it the Jesus Center expansion. That's how you presented it here today. So welcome to the KZFR.
Thanks, Bill. It's good to be back.
Just wanted your thoughts and comments on what happened last night from your view, the executive director of the Jesus Center.
Well, I thought it was a miracle that we had a healthy, hopeful conversation. The council rarely comes out 7-0 about anything, particularly the topic of caring for the homeless. So I was impressed. I was encouraged. I felt very buoyed by the conversation.
Next steps?
Well, we've got some work with the city on talking about the legal arrangement with the land. I'm going to be working on how to actually raise the money to build this. And then, of course, shoring up our collaborative partners.
Be looking forward to seeing how it rolls forward and giving my input.
Well, we want your input, Bill.
All right. This is Guillermo Mash with Bob Trouch from Chico Housing Action Team on the line for a quick interview here for the November 8th Without a Roof radio program. Welcome, Bob Trouch.
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
You know, I had a chance to talk with Laura Kutsuna. You've just heard her interview, but I told Laura Kutsuna even before I met her that Bob Trouch, you, someone I respect dearly and I've been involved with since maybe day 30 in Chico, and you had such good things to say about the work she's doing. You had so much trust in her as a person. Maybe you could share some insights on that, Bob.
Well, for me, she has several things going for her besides being articulate, energetic, compassionate. She's a resource in our community, by far beyond what most of us can do. She just has this vision, and she cares so much about the people in this community. And I don't think people really get that. I think a lot of people, you know, feel that, you know, it's because she's working with the Jesus Center that it has a specific, you know, goal to bring Jesus to people. And I think that what she wants to do is bring services to people. She cares deeply about changing people's lives. She cares deeply about the people on the street who need help. We know how bad it's gotten out on the street. You certainly, as I know, what's happened in our community. We know that from years ago, when you went to get a job, you anticipated getting a full-time job. You anticipated getting benefits and retirement and having a life, you know, a middle-class life. And we know now that with what I call the Walmart model, you go to get a job, you get low pay, you get no benefits, and you get part-time work. And so we have more and more people on the street. And I know that Laura understands that. She really has compassion. She understands that we don't judge, and she doesn't judge the reason someone is on the street. What she does is try and reintegrate people into society. She wants to bring trust back into people's lives. So many people have lost trust in society and in their community and in themselves. And what she wants to do is bring trust back to people, just as I think we do with chat. We want to bring trust to people. When we see that they trust us, we see growth and change. And I think that's what she's about. And she knows that our community has so many people that are unhoused, that need housing. There's so many people that are on the edge that we need to have services for. And she's working on that. She's looking at all possibilities. It's not just one thing that Laura's looking at. She's looking at anything that might work for our community to make our community more humane, more caring, more what it should be. You know, the have-nots need our help.
One kind of final thought with a follow-up from you, Bob, is, you know, someone that's been working this beat 6 years, my mission is, you know, a visual journalist, anthropologist, you know, working the streets and the stories is to humanize people. And you know, the opposite of that is dehumanization. And it is used as a massive, massive blunt tool against homeless people. And I just have, you know, some peripheral view of this. And I've seen some things flying back and forth, the things people have said to me that look and smell like, you know, they're kind of trying to dehumanize Laura. So for folks that fall into that realm, your message is dead, because it's like you're saying you need to be humanizing and thinking about these poor people out here. Take it from there, Bob, because it's really a little bit upsetting to me. You know?
It is. It absolutely is. And we do see that dehumanization going on with the people in our community who aren't as fortunate as some of us and find themselves, for a myriad of reasons, homeless. That if you dehumanize them and you dehumanize the people who are trying to help, like Laura, and as we saw even with the city council, even though they said 7-0, let's look at this, but you really heard so many voices in there saying it's going to be almost impossible to make this happen. We have to worry about this. We have to worry about a BMX track that is a nonprofit that's had city land for years now at $1 a year, that is more important than the 1,000 people or 1,100 people we have in this community who are unhoused. They're more important. And I so appreciated the gentleman who spoke there last night from them, realizing what a responsibility is all of us. I was so impressed that, as he said, you know, first they're going to fight like hell, and then the realization that, no, we need to help. That's, be open.
That's a beautiful thing to end on, actually, Bob. I've had two endings. I'm ending twice with Bob, but I've reached out to Laura Kutsuna because in her interfaith council meetings, well, you were there, for Pete's sake. She talked about, you were there. She talked about, you know, how they're looking at being a teaching moment for those kids. So I've reached out to Laura to get Vince and the kids on the next week's Without a Roof Radio program. Bob, would you tune into that?
I will, because that's the reality. Yeah. I held my breath when he walked up there, to be honest. Yeah. I was holding my breath. And I thought, there you have it. We had so many business people all say we need compassion, but they're also saying we need rules. And I can appreciate and understand that as someone's business being impacted by people who are unhoused. But the other side of it is then we have to make the hard decisions to come up with the money, coming up with the space, coming up with the rules and regulations through the city to make that change. And that's hopefully where we're at. And I also think that we, and this doesn't have to go off to a public edge, but I think we have to change our city council, because I actually believe the city council, with the makeup of it is, will find reasons to stop this from going forward. Saying I truly believe that.
I do too.
That our city council,
I do too.
Is going to, we heard Mark, we heard what's her name, Renee, we heard, you know, Sean, they put roadblocks up. You know, they give lip service. You know, the very first thing Mark said, what was the first thing he said, right? Transients. And, you know, at least he didn't use what's the other term for coming into town? What do you call it? Magnet. I mean, those are the two things we constantly hear. They don't appreciate what's happening in communities across this country. They just don't get it.
No, so, they don't. And an overlapping concern for me is, I'm going to use the word child. I'm actually looking at the city council on my screen doing this edit, but they are so childish and off-putting. They look like the high school bullies that want to make sure everybody knows that these people to my left, or to their right, actually, are not even, they dehumanize the progressive side. And they roll their eyes and some of the body language.
Renee doesn't even pay, Renee doesn't even pay attention. She's looking at her, you know, we had her in meetings with the task force, and she was supposed to be there as a representative, and she wasn't representing anything. She'd be on her phone, she'd be on her computer, didn't even listen, and she was doing that last night, if you were watching.
I was.
I was just pissing me off.
But to maybe a nice way to end it, you know, Scott Grundle, there's a lot of things I agreed or didn't agree with Grundle when he was mayor, when it was a progressive council. But correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, and you're good at that. There was a much, much more collaborative effort back in 2013, 2012 when I got here. The progressives certainly didn't come across as rude and off-putting. You know, there was a point at the beginning, I'll probably slip in, where people next to me, Bob, they were like, oh, Morgan, like, just dished Ori. You know, I've had it as a citizen. I actually might go to the business from the floor, but these people are just abhorrent. They're abhorrent.
That's right. And look at even when Ann said a couple of things and he just discounted it. Sean, thank you, Ann, but no. Thank you, Ann, but no, you know, with suggestions. And that has to change. We have to change it. I was at that seminar down 2 weeks ago in Sacramento with 24 presenters from the state. It was amazing to me how off they were. And I finally said to the group, I said, you know, excuse me, there's an elephant in a room here. At the very end of the thing, they asked for, you know, questions, and I had to make a statement. I said, you know, there's a couple of problems here. You guys are upper middle class and upper class people trying to solve problems for the people on the bottom. You have no understanding what it's like on the bottom. You can't even envision it. So then you're talking about housing solutions that will never work, because you're talking about the building units that no one can afford on the bottom. There's no way they can afford them. Yeah. That's number one. Number two, the reality is you guys have accepted the Walmart model. Years ago, when people went to get a job, they expected to be hired full-time, get benefits. That's no longer the case. As I said earlier, that's no longer the case. You get a part-time job, no benefits. You have no security, no safety net. And that is the model, and that has to change. Otherwise, it's going to be a tsunami of people unhoused from all walks of life because of that, just because of that. And then you add technology to it, where we're losing all our jobs, and they're being sent overseas, or they're being phased out because of technology. We have to look at affordable housing, and that's not your picture of affordable housing. That's a real, true,
realistic. Yeah.
What can someone realistically pay for a space, and how big should that space be? It's not a 2,700 square foot space. It's not a 2,000 or 1,000. It's a space that they can afford to live in.
Bob, it's always a pleasure. But I have to say, I have to point out, you know, there was very, very few areas where I had agreement with Mr. Marbit, the infamous Robert Marbit, but I think he used the same word as far as the housing situation. We're looking at a tsunami based upon the economics and the cutbacks
in
Hudson. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I was out of town when he did that presentation. Yeah.
So I might actually send that to the Conservative City Council, because it seems like if it's maybe it's coming from Marbit, it'll have a little bit more weight than hearing it from Bob Trouse.
Yeah. I'm sure. like a ton.
Bob, it's always like a pleasure, man. I love what you're doing, man.
Okay, you take care.
All right, it's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to have Bob Trouse, one of the founding members, board member of Chico Housing Action Team. And it's always a pleasure as well to have the non-human radio folks in the house, Jeannie and Danny. And it's equally pleasurable and exciting. We have...
I didn't get your mic. Get mic one. Pull that mic close.
Yeah. We have Sam Keller. He was a representative of, quote-unquote, the unhoused community. Welcome to KZFR, Sam Keller.
Thanks for having me.
What do you got to say, Sam?
Well, I would say that if the city seems to face one of the largest issues, almost every issue that the city faces can be blamed on the houseless, the transients, whatever you want to call it. But we have a city council that's naive to even begin to understand the biggest problem that they face. If you asked them to name three people that are without a house, they couldn't answer one of them. Mm-hmm. So to put a panel or a board of individuals together to try to solve the biggest issue that you face, that they couldn't even begin to understand, doesn't seem like the right people for the job.
Yeah, so Sam Keller's going to be on the show, just like Tara Ames is. He's going to be on the show the rest of the month, being a representative, a commentator around putting the voice to the folks that are out there, houseless. And also, Sam's going to be, it's really cool, man. Slow Theater is doing this thing on the 29th, Cafe Coda, 7 p.m. It's a whole panel on homelessness in Chico with an affordable housing component. Any closing comments, maybe a quote, Sam, before we turn it over to Non-Human Radio?
Sure. Just remember, some people are so poor, all they have is money.
Yeah, man. All righty. Turning it over to the Non-Human Radio. Thanks for listening, and look us up. People Power Radio.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local seasonal and organic delights at Farm Star Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farm Star features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts with vegan and gluten-free offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farm Star Pizza is open Monday through Friday for lunch, noon on Saturday and Sunday, and for dinner 7 nights a week with live music on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They're located at 2359 The Esplanade. Visit farmstarpizza.com or like them on Facebook. And we're also made possible by the Chico Certified Farmers Markets, presenting farmers markets throughout Butte County. Saturday in both downtown Chico and Oroville, Tuesday in Paradise at Alliance Church, Wednesday at North Valley Plaza in Chico, and Thursday at Ace Hardware in Paradise. Details at chicofarmersmarket.com. connecting farmers and food lovers since 1980. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio.